not being sneaky this time. Usually I just turn on the recording and Lisa finds out later that I'm actually recording, which is a little rude. So, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do that or not.
Hi, everybody.
This is the Princess and or the Priest recording. Another one. Interesting things going on. I hope this never sounds cocky or something. I forget what day I woke up. No, Brenna showed up, and all of a sudden, some inspiration came to say, hey, Sam should go off and go off with Brenna and do the kind of construction work she's doing to help him lose weight. He's wanting to lose weight to go back into the military. And it just popped into my head, so I said it, which I've been doing more of over time. Is when something comes into my head, I start working it. And so I started working that. Sam seemed really excited about it, but he's a little trepidatious. He keeps saying, oh, there's paperwork. It's like, what paperwork? I didn't do any paperwork. Anyway, but that's okay. So, yeah, maybe Sam's going to go off and join Brenna up toward Taos territory. And and do some construction work, which is kind of what he was doing anyway. He was being a plumber. In fact, there's a plumber up there Brenna was talking about that she might set him up with, which wouldn't be a bad thing. Although he might not be very interested in doing plumbing as a business. Although he was talking about last night, wasn't he? I guess, I don't know if you were there.
No.
He was saying, yeah, I could come back here and take over the business. And I had said something that makes him a little trepidatious about that, because I said, yeah, people have a bad tendency of not being able to pay or not choosing to pay here. And that was kind of worrisome to him.
I remember when we lived in Portales, the plumber there that we had come, we had to pay some money up front just for them to look at it. And then whatever it ended up costing, they took that amount out of the final bill.
Yeah, and we almost kind of had a retainer thing with them.
Yeah.
You know, we would pay them a certain amount of money every year or so. I think we only did it for 1 year.
Yeah.
And yeah, it kind of worked out that way. It was kind of a, well, this gives you a little discount on our normal fees. And we tend to come running because, you know, you've already paid and stuff like that. It worked out really well. And I'm sure it worked out for them, knowing that they had some, if there was any business to have, they would have it. And they already had the money for it. Which isn't a bad deal. That would be something I would suggest to him if he ever decided to go into that business, is to try to set up those kind of things. Oh, sorry. Yeah, fuck, Willie.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Hey, they're working on the interstate. On the interstate.
It's nice and smooth for a change.
Well, for a little bit.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty bad habit of just kind of putting a little bit of stuff on to try to cover over the bad holes, and then all of a sudden the bad holes reappear almost immediately.
Yeah.
But for now, it's nice. That's why New Mexico does it. It's a totally different philosophy than Texas. Which Texas has much better roads than we do.
Good, yeah.
Funny how everything works better in Texas than it works here. But, you know what? We're here. We've got a house here. got good internet here. Text just has a bit of a problem with me.
So yeah, Brenna and Jelaine is going to go back today to Taos, where at the present moment she's cat sitting for somebody, and it's like, how do you sit for a cat? Oh my gosh. I guess to just make sure that they've got food and water sitting there for them, because you're not doing anything else with them. You're not walking them, you're not bathing them, you're not trying to roll around a ball and play with them, I guess. Okay, here's the end of the nice road.
Yep, doctor. Tricky road, tricky road. So, anyway. Brenna was talking that her outfit is gonna do some interesting stuff. Out in foreign countries, foreign lands.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful thing.
Argentina, El Salvador, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, which isn't in foreign land, but it's away from mainland. Places like that.
That sounds exciting to me. Not on exciting for Lisa Jean.
I'm okay.
Frankly, having my kids outside the United States sometimes is a little kind of like, okay, maybe they'll, you know, what are possibilities? I'm always kind of hoping that Brenna will connect with some return missionary type in her travels. You know? For all I know, she'll find some guy in South America or something. What are interesting travels?
You never know.
So that's all looking, really interesting and exciting for a guy like me.
So we actually had pancake breakfast up at the church yesterday for 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's different than the way we used to do it, but you know what?
It worked.
Things changed. Yeah.
And it worked.
I was trying to be kind of even about it, saying, you know what? I guess we're supposed to have new traditions now.
And they added a few things, which I thought was a nice touch, like
there's some things for the kids to do.
Like some fruit.
Oh yeah.
That was nice. It was just cantaloupe, but it was good cantaloupe.
Boy, it was. It was sweet. It was wonderful.
And it wasn't overly ripe, and it wasn't underripe either. Hey, somebody put a flag up on that thing.
Yeah.
And, don't drop it on yourself. It'll stay. And they had some nice music playing in the background, and they had things for the kids to do, and they were tossing around a football for the older kids. And except for one who busted up his knee and was on crutches because he tried to do a double backflip on a trampoline. It's like, are you great? There's a car right here. I can't go around.
Sure. Going away, Coach. Ooh, man.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. The tire was totally gone.
They're hauling some stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah. Could be the marijuana. I think it comes in bags like that. It's all nicely packaged up, whatever it is, huh?
So, anyway, and earlier during the week, we helped move this crazy old lady. Well, sort of. I'm not naming names.
That's good.
She...
Helping give her furniture away, basically.
Yeah. Because supposedly she was moving in with her sister in Arizona, and now we're hearing that she's just moving to Clovis.
It's like, uh-oh, she has no furniture.
Yeah. It's like, what are you thinking?
Maybe she's going into an assisted living place.
Maybe. That would probably be a good thing for her, because she's just wishy-washy. She changes her mind every 2 minutes.
She's a pack rat. She has to stop being that.
Yes. Especially if she goes into assisted living. They're going to dump all of her extra crap.
She had it in storage, I guess. She couldn't afford the storage anymore. Or at least she didn't choose to afford it. Anyway. Yeah, I don't want to do any more because it'll sound obvious who we're talking about. I don't know.
But
she's kind of she's a sweet person, but she's a little over, and she just makes you nuts.
Yeah.
So yeah, a whole lot of people don't deal with her because they go, you know, she's always asking for help, and then.
Changes her mind.
Then she changed her mind, or she doesn't want the help anymore, or she wants a different kind of help, and it's like, oh, good night. Anyway, yeah, it's hard for people, you know, I'm trying to be even-handed by saying, you know, that it's really hard for people that don't have a family to rely on, and that's sad. Another thing in the whole point of have a family. You know, don't just be single and live your life.
Just to lean on them in hard times.
Yeah, it's because you're going to need people to help you over time, you know? We can't face everything alone.
Yeah.
Although I try to.
When I used to go to the gym, there was this little old lady, and she would come out to work out at the gym, and I found out that she and her husband had decided when they first got married that they only wanted to be married to each other and love each other, and they didn't want any children because they wanted to be able to go traveling and do whatever they wanted to do and have the money to do it, not be spending it on some kids. Well, he died, and now she's all alone. She doesn't have any kids to take care of her.
So, if she needs things, I guess she either has to pay for them, or she has to rely upon the kindness of strangers.
Yeah.
And that's tough. And it's like, yeah, this is, no, have children. You know, you go, well, it's just such a pain in the butt.
And who wants to bring children into this world?
That cool, horrible world. And you're going, you know what? I'm sorry. Every time I've heard that, It always eventually comes off as an excuse, you know, when it's like, you know, the world isn't that cold and hard. memorable. And kids give your life meaning. Even when they're driving you nuts, it gives you meaning. At least you've got something to do. You know, help them or give them advice or at least try to have contact with them to make sure that you're not just on your own only. But yeah. And the wonderful thing, we have friends that live out of town. They're very, very old now. They're in their early 90s. He is. She's in her late 80s.
Yeah.
And they had what, 5 girls and a boy?
Yeah. Or 6 girls. What are the others?
Some, yeah. They had a pretty good brood. And right now, it's getting to the point they're still living at their old house where they always lived in way out in the middle of nowhere. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But she's becoming, I don't know if it's senile or a little bit of dementia, but her mind's not all there. And he recently broke the femur in his leg, and so physically he can't really get around very well.
Yeah, and he's been shaky.
Very
for quite
shaky
a while.
Lately.
Yeah.
Every month, one of their daughters comes and stays with them to take care of them. Because the son doesn't do jack squat to help.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe he does. We just don't care.
Well, that's why I'm sure the girls are coming, because he doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Then that's bad. It's like, come on, man. They said they've always done favors for you.
Yeah.
It's time for you to turn around and do favors for them, but I don't know if you really... Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the point was that it's an example of when you have...
Children.
Several children. Don't just have one or two, because bad things will happen, you know. One or two of your kids will die. We had a little infant die close to our community, although... These people aren't part of our community anymore. They choose not to be. And, you know, it just lets you know that life is kind of a tenuous thing. And you don't, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. So do you want to have several children? You do. And you go, oh, yeah, but we're just going to be scraping by and poor. And you go, you know what? That's true.
We did it.
For the vast majority of our lives together, it was scraping by and just making do. And anyway, so that's another thing for my whole family sovereignty thing, which is kind of on the back burner while I actually work on something else. I've talked about a little bit on recordings, but not a whole lot, so maybe I'll talk about that just a little. If I could ever talk about anything just a little,
He's wanting to get over.
I think he's saying. But he's going to turn off his blinker. Let's just get past him real fast.
Trying.
Because somebody's over at the side of the road. Oh, it looks like they're either loading a car or moving a car. Oh, they just picked it up. Yeah, now somebody just picking up that car to go home somewhere. I got it. Anyway, so, I'm sorry. Now I'm totally distracted by what I was saying. I was talking about about family sovereignty for a little bit, saying, you know what, you need to make sure that you have a good family, and you need to have good relations with them so they'll be at least halfway inclined to help take care of you when you get old, honey.
Yes.
I think that's a wonderful thing. We've seen examples both ways. Even in our little community here in Tucumcari, our little Latter-day Saint community here, where people, I guess, either didn't do that or they don't have a good relationship with their kids, and people who do. And it makes the world of difference. And I'm sure it was worth all of the sacrifice and everything that you did to have a larger family. Because now... taking care of this really intensely old couple isn't a huge burden on any one of the kids.
Yeah.
They've chosen to split it up into pieces, and I think it works okay. I'm sure they're kind of like, I really can't live my life because every month or so I have to drop everything.
Because even if there were five girls, it's every 5 months you'd have to drop.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Now I'm sure the kids have been talking about saying, you guys just need to, board up that house or something and come and live with one of us. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I think that they don't want to.
But, some of them may live in a place where they don't have a spare room for them to be at.
That's true. So there's that. Maybe it's a larger thing.
I mean, what if all of a sudden we had to have your dad and his wife come live with us? Where would they sleep?
Yeah. I definitely have to get to work on the Goldilocks house to try to make it at least decent enough for them. But they've got a pretty good situation right now. And they've got paid for stuff. That's always the biggest criteria, I think, when somebody says, well, this is going to cost us more, and it's like, well, maybe it's okay just to go take care of mom and dad at their place because it's paid off, everything's good, all their stuff is there.
Tons of food storage. So it's not like you're buying groceries.
Oh, they've got food storage. Those guys did a really good job. And that was what the mother, wife of the situation, was always heavily into. She loved that stuff. Anyway, but I'm not working on that kind of stuff although, can I say it's kind of woven into what I'm doing right now? Because this really has a bearing on exaltation, which is what this is. I've been working on putting together an online game, and I'm not gonna not monetize it. I'm gonna go ahead and give people an opportunity to make donations and stuff like that. Maybe over time we'll try to turn it into something that's more of a moneymaker. I don't know, but it's kind of that board game, the Game of Life. I seem to recall we were talking about this, even in this very situation. So people have already heard about it a little bit, but you can always, talk about things two or three different ways. So, but not like the Game of Life. It revolves around making choices. And the way it's set up now, the whole game takes it gives you like 152 basic turns that are basically making choices between two different things to do. And who knows, I might turn it into three different things to do just to make it a little more interesting. I don't know. I'm going to have Lisa, after I finally get it pulled together and get it working, to play it to say, I think it'd go better this way or go better this way, or this would make it more interesting. I'm really counting on Lisa Jane to be what she is, a typical human being.
Oh, well, especially one who's not technologically...
Oh, and who cares?
Literate.
It's just a game, yeah.
To be able to know I can follow whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
I remember when I was in California staying with a friend, her dad was writing a computer program for, a dentist's office, whatever. And he wanted me to go through it to see if it would be easy for anybody to just get on and work it.
Yeah.
And I would get to a point, it's like, are you wanting this or are you wanting this? Because I don't know what you're after. Where am I going? And so he would sit there and he would work it until it was like so easy and so clear that even me, who's computer illiterate, could go through his whole program. And it was easy and simple.
Well, good. I'm glad you were useful that way. Sometimes sometimes
he didn't get frustrated.
When we're in a development thing, it's like, oh God, yeah, you're killing me.
He didn't get frustrated with me. He just said, huh, okay, yeah, I see where you're coming from. And yeah.
Are you telling me this story so that you'll say, okay, Jason,
Make sure when you program it, it's easy. Yeah, and don't get frustrated.
When I'm going through testing and I'm being your tester, don't get grumpy because...
Like when I found a misspelled word because I said, I don't know what slogo means.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm glad you said that because it was kind of bad. Anyway. And it really wasn't the right one. I had struggled with what word to put there, and I finally just rephrased the whole thing and made it. I don't like doing that because it makes it longer, but, you know, at the end of the day, being clear is better than being, you know, really concise, which is sad because one of the jobs I put in for, which apparently they haven't made a choice yet, and I'm guessing that since they, well, I don't know if they're considering, I don't know how their system works, but anyway, was doing that, you know, being a really concise writer. So that, you know, but it was supposed to be in human terms so people could read it and understand.
Yeah.
Their policies were written by a bunch of lawyers, and so nobody understood most of it. It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't understand. And apparently there was this lawsuit. And as part of that lawsuit, they had to clean up all this stuff and make their policies and procedures more understandable to regular people.
Yeah.
And as part of that, they also had to hire people as part of this effort. That, you know, there was actually some things that they said, okay, you've got to do this. So it was a job that opened up, and I don't know if I've got any hope of getting it, which is why I keep going, you know, Jason, go ahead and go the whole do-something-yourself route. Instead of working for other people, you need to do something that's just you. And see what happens. For all I know, this thing will just become this thing. I've even had visions of this thing becoming such a thing that it's almost like, it's kind of like a Jordan Peterson sort of thing. Not at his level, but, you know, to where people who worry about parenting and about trying to find meaning in life and stuff like that, they'll invite you to speak at their group, and they pay you. You know, that's part of the fun. People don't do it for free. They do it for money. And you go, oh, my gosh, even if I get two or three or four speaking engagements a year, that's a half-decent little income. Of course, Lisa's going, oh, Jason, don't get into yourself. I know her. You can say that, too.
You're a little ray of sunshine.
I am. I'm always kind of upbeat about this stuff. At least it's kind of, you just need to relax, Nimroses. Things don't ever go the way you expect them to. And you go, well, I don't have a lot of expectations coming into this. Anyway, so, and boy, let me tell you. I was, this week... yesterday was Independence Day. The day before that was, you know, the day before Independence Day. Anyway, and I had an appointment with a recruiter for a job, for an opportunity, and it was doing adjunct. It's a little more than adjunct teaching at a university, and it was for computer stuff, so it was something for which I was pretty well qualified. And I've kind of looked at it and said, oh, you know, I could really do that. And I have done some adjunct instructor work for a university, and it was exactly like that. It's got water on it. I'm going to get water all over this stuff. It does. Anyway, so... Just the morning before it happened, I woke up in the morning, and if you know me, and I think this works for a lot of people, I wouldn't be surprised if it works for most people this way, that after you've been quiet for a little while and your mind is still, the spirit can talk to you. And I'm crediting this to the spirit instead of to, I don't know, my own head, paranoia, whatever. Anyway, and I recall back when I used to do when I was working at the local college in Tucumcari, Mesa Lands Community College, as their CIO, which I never felt very, I think I did the job, but the job got really kind of weird kind of fast. Anyway, and one of the things that was getting really going was DEI, diversity,
equity
and inclusion. And I tell you, this thing has caused more problems in the world than anything else I've ever known. And it was causing some problems at the college. I didn't get caught up with it. I was trying to lay low and just not even get involved with it. We actually had a DEI officer, which is the big thing. Once you have one of these programs, you have to hire an officer for it. You kind of have staff that works it. And what they do all day long, I don't know, I don't honestly know what they do all day long, but I get this picture that all they do is find grievances and almost trump them up to make it happen. You know, you're this color or you come from this culture and people aren't being properly respectful of you. It really became a huge thing with the transgenders and about misgendering people. I'm sorry, you're trying to look for something?
Yeah,
am I bothering you?
You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. No. The stuff comes out of the closet and it gets dirty in the closet. No, closet's supposed to be pretty good for not getting too dirty. We have kind of a dirty house and we kind of leave it open. So is dirt going to get in there? Yeah. You know, it isn't a sealed up refrigerator box, and I'm grateful for it on some level. I don't know how Lisa feels sometimes. Sometimes she's for it, sometimes she's against it. Anyway, she was looking down at my pants because I obviously had some dirt or a stain or something on it. She was probably saying, oh, you dripped something on your pants, and I didn't. It just came
anyway,
that way. Pardon me.
DEI officer.
DEI. And the whole thing around.
Looking for grievances.
Yes, thank you. Looking for grievances. And a whole lot of places have made it so that when you get hired, you have to sign some kind of a statement about it. And I said, Lisa, I'm not going to sign any of those DEI statements. And she's like, that's going to make you hard to employ.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I know. And I just put out, if you guys want to go and look at www.quix.us, that's the blog. The current entry at the top of my blog is a little thing that I wrote
the cruelty
last
DEI.
Night about how cruel DEI is, and about how if you say or do something or give somebody a look that they don't like or something like that, they can destroy your life.
Yep.
And I don't mean just you might lose your present job. You might never be able to get another job if all of a sudden it starts sticking, you know. And it does. This is really sticky stuff. You know, you're a bigot. You're a homophobe. You're blah, blah, blah. That all got translated into DEI programs. And it does that, and you're just going, you know what? You don't want to be anywhere near an organization that has these things. And sadly, almost everything I've worked for the past several years are organizations that are going to have a DEI policy, either a government contractor, because the government just gets to do that. You know, and say, okay, all you contractors, you have to have a DEI policy, and it has to read like this, and you really have to bend over backwards to make sure that people aren't offended or whatever, you know. And it's, I eventually said, it's all about the pandering to the LGBTQ people, however many more letters they have, and race baiting. You know, it's all about saying, oh no, you know, these people are special. You have to treat them differently. And that was what I said to that poor recruiter who was saying, well, I wanted to spend, it's going to take us about 45 minutes. And I said, well, before we even start, let's talk about this, because I don't do this. I don't get involved in this. And so we talked about it. And I explained that I come from an older mentality about this, which is basically being colorblind. This is, you just don't look at other people's attributes. You try to treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
I said, that's what I come from. And I know it's a generational thing, and that's not good enough for people today. Because everybody's supposed to have special privileges, right?
And have safe places.
Yeah, stuff like that. And you just go, ugh. And I said, you know, I don't do that. I said, you know, my door's open, all these other things. I said, you can talk about what you want to talk about, but I'm going to be the first one to say, hey, you know, if you make other people's lives kind of miserable, if you make all kinds of weird demands on them, I says, to be honest, who wants to hire that? But apparently that's not something you're supposed to say. You're not supposed to give people good advice about things because you're supposed to say, oh, you're part of an aggrieved group. Oh my gosh, I need to bend over backwards to make sure you don't feel bad.
Well, right now with the Israeli-Palestine thing, you can say, hey, I'm a Jew and I don't feel safe here.
But I don't want to go there. I don't want to play that game because that's
me. I know, but I'm just saying.
It's like, you know what? I know I come from groups that a lot of people don't like. This is, I've got a Jewish background and I'm a Latter-day Saint. Let me tell you, those are two groups that you can say anything nasty you want to about either one of them, and it's totally acceptable, you know. And you go, yeah, I says, I'm sorry. I don't expect those DEI rules to apply to me. They're for other people. You know, it's for specific groups. It isn't for anybody else. You can't use those. So anyway, I said a lot of this to that recruiter, and she said, oh, okay, well,
you're probably not what we're looking for.
Yeah, you're probably not going to fit in with this. I go, boy, she's laboring hard to make sure she doesn't say anything wrong, and I feel for her. And it's like, okay, well then let's just stop this. And I haven't had a lot of those kind of phone contacts yet. And I don't know if they're really going to happen. I really would not be surprised if at the end of the day, game that I'm doing for this computer, I'm not going to be surprised if this ends up being what just I'm going to be doing going forward. Oh, which reminds me, and I know people are going to come back and say, oh, Jason, that's the stupidest thing to do. And I know I've done a lot of research on it, got word from a lot of people that say, oh, do not retire early, do not do all that, you know, and you're going, well, I don't really feel like I'm retiring. It says, but what I'm doing is I qualify to take my pension from all of the years I spent working for
universities.
Education, yeah, in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's a pension place, you know. New Mexico's kind of quasi-socialistic and kind of union-ish. So I got all the benefits that school teachers get without ever, with only being a school teacher a couple of times.
Yeah.
I actually worked for many schools. And so, yeah, I actually built up enough time and stuff like that. And so I think I'm going to be drawing a pension.
Oh, it's so much cheaper for gas here.
Oh, shit.
Like 40 cents cheaper.
We just didn't know. Yeah. That's okay. It'll probably be cheaper going in. Oh, well, we can go ahead and get some here if we want to. And we can get some more on the way back.
We can get it all the way back.
I don't want to spend the time doing everything. It's not that big. This is a very efficient little car. Actually, it's a very efficient, pretty good-sized car, to be honest. Anyway, I've been working diligently not very diligently. This whole thing about having the kids come and visit. And taking care of some interview things, mostly getting the interviewers to say, no, we're not going to consider you because you really have to kiss rainbow butt. And you're going, I'm not going to kiss rainbow butt, guys, I'm sorry. And it's like, oh, well then, we're not going to hire you because plenty of other people will. And you can read that blog post I did at www.quicks.us. Does it sound like I'm shilling for it? You don't have to pay any money. It's free, guy. Yeah, anyway, so it talked about... Oh, God, I've lost my train of thought. Well, it's gone.
The cruelty of...
No, there was something specific to it that I wrote about inside that blog post, not just the general balloon on top of the thing.
That you'll become unemployable.
Oh, yeah, that people become... No, it really wasn't that either. I'm sorry. It's just gone. If it comes up again, it'll come up again.
Okay.
I apologize. Anyway, I picked this thing up, the phone that's doing this recording, so I can look up the things while I still have some internet available to me. About the habits... Oh, I happened to be talking about this with one of my friends, and he came back and he said, "Ooh, isn't this seven? I thought it was seven, and I think it still is seven habits." And everybody said, "Ooh, what? You just took Stephen R. Covey things?" It's like, I don't think so. I said, to be honest, I never really got into Stephen Covey and his stuff, you know, his habits thing. It really just, you know, says it's okay, but I it wasn't my thing. Anyway, so no, it isn't like that. I don't know how that makes people feel exactly. There it is. But they think they've kind of pinned down what I'm up to, and you go, no, no. You know, all those choices that you make in this game, and then... at the very end of the day, you get judged. You know, it's just like Earth life. You know, you take the sum total of your life, and it gets looked at, and it gets judged, and God decides what your reward is going to be. At the end of the day, I really haven't worked out how I'm supposed to make that analysis, because I don't think Heavenly Father uses an algorithm. And it's tough to make an algorithm that's based on a process that might not be amenable to being an algorithm. You know, I don't know how God does it. Although it seems like God's got a system. But I don't know exactly what that is. You know, we do know some of the criteria of what qualifies for, like, some of the glories. I don't think we have a clear picture of what qualifies for exaltation. You know, there was a time when I thought that exaltation was really, the chief executive of a corporation, people who were self-employed successfully. That those were the people that were going to make it to exaltation. And you're going, is that really what's based on? Because that usually has to do with money. And you're going, as far as I know, God doesn't think much about how much money you made. And so that can't be the criteria. In fact, that's actually an element in this game, is to tell you how much money you have and how much money you're going to be spending if you have another kid or stuff like that. And it's just there to be a terrible distraction, because I think so many people focus on it. And at the end of the day, when you get judged,
see, that's
money
what,
doesn't really mean anything.
That's what I worry about.
What?
Going through your little sim.
Is what?
Because I already kind of know
what
kind of answer I'm supposed to be giving.
Maybe.
Because you've talked to me about it before.
Well, yeah. No, you're just going to be for the user interface. It doesn't seem straightforward enough, and it's not confusing. Which I'm going to just, you know, it's just words and links, you know. You kind of see a bunch of words, and if you want to go that way, you click on those words, and it moves you forward to the next thing. That's you making the choice. But yeah, it does have to do with all the other things. I want this thing turned off. It just frees up. There it is. Okay, dang it. Is it still going?
Yeah.
Or did it die? No, Lisa. Is it still going? Oh, it is good. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was looking at this. Which doesn't make it very obvious. Yeah, it's still going. That's awesome. Anyway, so, yeah. How does judgment work? How does God determine? And so, I figure I'm not really there yet, because I need to work out the whole way you make choices and stuff like that, how it records it and how it kind of puts it together. Then I'll come up with something that says, okay, here's where you get your final determination. My whole thing is that once you go through this several times, especially for people who aren't familiar with this stuff. Oh, he's chasing somebody. Boy, he wants to get off the road. He's chasing that guy so much.
And he's not seeing it.
Yeah, he's not paying attention to it. Remember one time I did that in Texas. I was 16 years old, and a cop was going by, and my whole thought was, let me just get out of his way. And apparently he was chasing after somebody else, but he decided it was so much more interesting to go after me, because I wasn't pulling over to get out of his way. And boy, he read me the riot act. When you see those lights, you pull over. And it's like, okay, I'm sorry. And he goes, well, again, do you have your head up your butt or something? And it's like, I'm 16 years old. I was a little smock, autistic kid. You know, we always behave wrong. Anyway, so. The whole point is that hopefully over time, is even as an individual person goes and does this several times and plays with it and saying, well, if I made these kind of choices, if I worked more on this attribute, this habit, it'll help me get to a good end. And you're going, yeah. It says, I hope that after they do that a few times, they start to see a deeper sense of meaning in their lives. And they go, my choices really do matter. And, you know, and I really do want better for myself. And what I do in this world, because really does matter. Because there's so many voices today, and you keep hearing more and more of it, where they say, it doesn't matter. In fact, there is this whole thing about life's just a game. And you go, you know what? Don't take it so seriously. And, you know, people just go, oh, I don't care, you know, whatever. And then they kind of get into things about it's all just a game, so they don't mind breaking rules, even really serious ones, like murder. They go, it's just a game. So it's because, yeah, is there anything after this life? No. You know, is what they're told.
You can steal packages off of people's porches. It's okay.
Yeah.
Because the law's not going to come after you.
Right, because they've got better things to do or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because cops will come when they say, when you say, hey, I got something stolen off my porch, and they go, okay.
Well, you can make a report, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to do anything.
But I don't think anything's going to come of it because we're too busy. We've got more important things to worry about than packages on stoops, yeah. And so it creates this kind of weird mentality in your head that says, I don't need to be a better person. You know, I've already convinced myself that there isn't a God that looks down on me. There's not something recording. And you go, whether God's really doing that, like sitting behind some bush and waiting for you to do something wrong and then popping out and going, aha, I caught you doing something wrong. And you're going, he isn't like that. But he says, but the kind of person that you become is what's important to him. And how do you put this into this game? It's like, but you also want people to kind of get into that mindset of saying, what I do in this life matters. It matters deeply. And it doesn't matter just to God and saying, well, God's just trying to control my life. You go, no, it's your life. It you know, it matters to you. You don't want to have the AC on? The AC's not on?
No,
sorry.
We can turn on the AC.
You don't do that. You can just press that button. Sorry. Why is it much better, thank you. Sorry. It's been hot the last couple of days.
Muggy.
And it's not stopping. It's looking like it could rain again today. And it did rain this morning. So, yes, it's been very muggy lately. Which is, I guess, good for the grass that I don't want to really mow, and good for the farmers.
We need to definitely plant our cucumbers while we have all this rain.
Yeah. Although I'm going to be watered anyway. Regardless, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I finally got doing. I still need to straighten out that fence. It still likes to roll up. I need to bend it so it falls straight down, and it'll be something that our cucumbers can crawl up. I'm trying to block a west-facing window with something. You know, a lot of people plant trees, but Lisa's, and I'm kind of worried about our water lines in the front yard, that I'll end up tearing those up if I put a tree in there. So, we're doing this, what we call a trellis? No. It's a trellis? Ah, good. I remember last time we were fighting about the little trellis.
You were saying trestle.
Yeah, I was doing a trestle, which is...
a railroad track.
It's like, yeah, or a bustle. Something that's on that women used to put on their behinds to make their behinds bigger. I don't know. Something. Anyway.
It's a trellis.
Yes, it's a trellis. So I actually put something up. It's kind of... It's not very pretty, but it'll do the job. And it's quite good, and it'll block the sun ultimately when we get something on it. So we settled on cucumbers. Yeah. Anyway, so that's got put up, which is important because that's where my server lives. That is going to be the one in charge of this game that people are going to go on the internet. You get on the internet, you go to the website. It's going to be Exalts, EXALTS, Exalts. .net. And it's going to become this thing. And I figure it's casting my bread on the water. And I figure if I'm doing something that helps people get back to the Lord, gets back to Heavenly Father. Sorry, it's not the Lord. The Lord's doing something else. Anyway, it tries to get people the best way they can go for a good afterlife, that it's going to be, that's going to be good. And, you know, I don't know if anybody will join the church off of it, although I think in some of the kind of side, there's going to be a lot of things coming out of this game. It's not just going to be the game, you know, because it'll be, you know, you make recordings on it. People talk about what they think is the most important thing, is that they start goofing with it. You know, I control it, because that's kind of the way I am. I mean, there's a certain way it's got to go. This isn't a democratic thing. You know, it isn't like, I think money should be more important, therefore, I think money should be the one of the, a huge determining factor and stuff. And you go, yeah, it has to do with stewardship. Well, I was getting on here to actually get the new list. This has been morphing a little bit over time. To say what are these habits you're trying to do. The first one is still called cleaving, even though I know that's a weird term, but I can't find any different. No, it's still leaking like a sieve. Is it just the? I'm sorry. Lisa's got a water bottle and it just drips all over her.
I don't feel it dripping.
That's good. Oh well, it's all over your dress, but it's water. It's not that big of a deal. It makes you look like you peed your pants. She's got a dress on. Anyway, so I apologize. Oh, I'm so politically incorrect, aren't I?
Yeah.
I try not to be too bad. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It just comes off that way so often. And I try to give people kind of a heads up that I'm not going to kill myself trying not to look like a jerk. And it doesn't bother me. If you say, well, you're a jerk, and you go, yep, sure I am, which is really off-putting to people. Because other people have been taught that when you call somebody a jerk, they will stop what they're doing and start paying attention to all of your little needs, you know, just to make sure that you don't look like a jerk. And it's like, oh, no, I don't bother. And you go, well, that's not very nice. And you go, I'm not here to be nice. Said, you know, I'm saying something that I hope is close to honest. I said, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, particularly, but I'm not going to apologize if you do feel bad. So it's just that. Anyway, all right. Cleaving is the top one. You know, there isn't a top or a bottom. They're not rated. Although this is really important. The whole thing about marriage and being committed to your marriage, we had to give it some kind of a word, a name, a title. And it was cleaving. That comes from the scriptures, of course.
Yeah, don't call it cleavage.
Yeah. Nope. It's just called cleaving. Honestly, I don't know at the end of the day if people will really make these associations, because as you're going along, you really don't know how you're doing on any of this stuff. It tries to simulate the fact that most people don't know they're standing before God most of the time. It's just not a thing. What you got there? Is that bacon? Oh, good job, Lee. Snake that out of Matt, huh? Matt saw it. He grabbed it. Oh, dang it. I'm asleep again. Okay. The next one's called the parenting habit, which is all about having and raising children. So we already talked about that quite a bit. That's what kind of prompted us getting here. Was the whole thing about your life is going to go a lot better if you have kids and not just a few. It'll just make your life work better. I have to find some way in the simulator to make it so that you get older. If you don't have kids, things start screwing up. Things start going badly. Because they aren't there to help you. Next one. This one's changed. One of the ones that's changed over time. I'm trying to make things bigger so that it includes more of just life, the experience of living. This one was health. I decided to change it to well-being. So it has more to do with that. It's not about going to doctors all the time or going and running in the morning. Although that can be one of the things that
you keep telling everybody about all this.
What?
how you're going to get ahead in the game, giving them all these clues when they're going to do it. They're just going to know automatically how to do it.
Lisa, no. It isn't a game you play once. And the vast majority of people don't know how to do it. It isn't going to be a problem like you think. It isn't like I spun a little spinner on the Game of Life game, and I always choose college. I always choose only having one child at most. It isn't like that. Well, no. Even if you play it like that, it still works out not to really be all that helpful. You know? So, no. I don't think my talking about it all the time is a problem. Because it isn't like, well, every time you get to step 14, you need to make this choice, you know. You need to go to college instead of just going out and getting a job. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. The whole algorithm doesn't work like that, so you don't have to worry about it. In fact, the more you talk about it, the more its purpose gets things done. So don't fret, Lee. It's going to be great. It's going to work very, 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 very well, I think. And yeah, we can talk about all we want to. Not a problem. The next one got changed. I forget when. Oh, it used to be about learning. Now it's the talent habit. Because it really ends up being, what is the whole point of education? Or what can education be included in that kind of covers it? That it was developing your talents, right?
Sure.
Or you can look at it that way. Pardon me. And that's really what you want to do, is you want to look at it that way. Why am I going to college? To develop my talents, to be able to do something. People who go to school only to get some degree that's supposed to earn them lots of money. Most of the informed people about this say that that's a really bad way to approach it, because you'll end up getting all this knowledge and experience and all these credentials in something that you may very well not enjoy doing, that may not suit you. I'm trying to think of some circumstance that's not too revelatory. I know people that did that went to school for a specific thing because the money was really good, and they saw that somebody had really gotten a very lucrative,
opulent lifestyle.
Yeah, a very nice lifestyle based off of being that kind of a person. And the funny thing was, it didn't work out for them hardly at all. In fact, I get stressed out, things are tough, you know, and ultimately, they just did something else, and it's like, it's sad, they could have gotten involved in the thing that they're doing now much earlier, and probably had a much more happy, and probably would have done just as well money-wise, and that's kind of what the talent habit actually involves income too. That's where it comes in. You won't see a making lots of money habit in this thing. It just isn't there. It's all stuck in your talent thing. If you're actually working on your talents, the supposition is that money, at least enough money to get by, will come, and that you'll be okay. Which I think is probably more honest way of looking at than saying, yeah, I took, you know, I became a medical doctor because I knew medical doctors made a lot of money. And once they got into it, they said, I have absolutely no interest in the medical field. I'm not interested in it. I do remember this story being told by some rancher out here who had sent his son to school. Or, no, his mom had sent him to school. She was actually the one that controlled the ranch. And she bribed him to go and get become a doctor. And she said, "I will give you this ranch if you'll go off and be a doctor." And he did it. And once he got it done, our present hospital here in town is still named after this guy. This guy never practiced medicine. I don't know why we name our hospital after him.
Probably because he donated a lot of money.
Yeah, I think he probably donated a lot of money to it. But it wasn't because he was this rich doctor. It was because he finally got his ranch. And then as soon as he got his ranch, he said, "Screw this, I'm not being a doctor anymore." All I wanted was a ranch. And you're going, see, parents always think that they're doing wonderful gifts for their kids. It's like, no, you need to tell your kids to be more worried about figuring out where their talents lie and where their interests lie and helping them develop that. And you go, yep. And that's why it's a talent habit as opposed to making a whole lot of money habit. You just don't, that's just not terribly important. The next one's a faith habit, which hasn't changed lately. That one's the normal one about devotion to God and knowing that God's going to take care of you. There are certain elements in this game where you get some bad advice on a regular basis. Some of it's very secular advice, and some of it seems like it comes from God. And you go, says, "Can I tell you? You need to listen to God." And that's something that doing this game over and over again is supposed to help you realize and help you learn. That's why when Lisa says, "Well, now you're telling them all the tricks, Jason, and now they're going to know how to win the game." And you go, there is no winning. It's a simulation. It's like the game of life. There is no absolute winning. It's like, oh, go for that $100,000 a year job. That is the road to happiness and success. And you're going, it may not be. Once you finally get it, is it worth it? I didn't hang out at my $100,000 a year job because it was bizarre. And I'm sorry, it just wasn't doing it. It wasn't fulfilling me. Even though everybody said, "Hey, man, stay here, take the money, put up with all the crap that there's got to be with this organization, just like the rest of us do, and you'll be fine." And almost all of them, to a point, said, "We understand why you're leaving, and that's great, and, for whatever thing," which I really was quite taken aback by how nice people were to me when I was basically walking away and saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, so you got faith. So you need to listen to God when it comes up. These are, that's why I call them habits. Not only do we treat them like habits in the game, but hopefully over time, as you play this game, and I encourage people to play it much more than once. It's like going to the temple. You can get everything done by going to the temple once, right?
Yeah.
And then you really don't have to go back again unless you really want to. But is it much more meaningful if you go a lot? And you go, it is. And you go, funny thing about it, it's kind of like the game. I'm not trying to compare the game to going to the temple. It's not, I don't expect it to become some kind of, my new religion is playing this game. It's not what I made it for. It's just that as many times you do it, hopefully it starts affecting your own personal habits. And you go, you know what? I'm not so worried about making money. I'm far more worried about developing my talents and figuring out what my talents are. And you go, ooh. And you go, see? It says that's a wonderful thing. Okay. The next one's a stewardship habit. I'm trying to remember what this used to be. Stewardship habit was called something else. Anyway, So, yeah, one of the habits has changed to make it a little bigger.
Caregiving or something.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I called it at first, thank you. I called it first the responsibility one. But that really didn't catch the essence of it very well. Stewardship does. We tried to change it into a name that was to a word that was shorter. And here it is, safekeeping and care were some of the things that we had looked up that Lisa liked, but I still haven't changed it from stewardship yet. I might still do it. And then the last one's the charity one, which is being kind to other people in whatever way. It says most people think about like money or food, and you go, yeah, that's part of it, but it mostly has to do with treating people decently, even if they don't really deserve it. Yeah? Isn't that the best sort of charity? Or the most challenging, the most sacrificing sort? I think Christ said how easy it was to be basically nice to your friends who are nice to you, you know, and it's all really nice to be around nice people, and everybody's nice and nice, 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 which I am not a big guy about nice.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody, but there it is. But if you get offended, that's your problem, not mine. I'm not setting out to be mean, which is the opposite of being charitable, is to just, you know, take advantage of a person, you know, especially if they've been mean to you. It's like being the vindictive things. People all think Trump is really going to go after his enemies. And you go, he might choose to do that. It says, and to be honest, if you don't go after them, are they going to continue just behaving that way? Is your good example going to rub off on them? You go, of course not. They're going to take advantage of it. That's exactly how evil works. And you go, we're dealing with some pretty evil people. And you go, charity is the opposite of that. You know, it's saying, you know what? I am going to be decent to people, even though they have no interest in being decent to me. So it's like, well, I guess for Trump, if he plays the game, he might come back and say, you know what? I just need to let that go. He's always said that if he wins this next election there, that will be his vindication, is that he still won. You know, even though everybody was using every single instrumentality, it seems like they are, to try to make sure that he'll be unsuccessful, or to try to get him to go away, or try to get him to do anything else besides doing what he's trying to do. So yeah, so those are the updated habits, and I feel like I'm getting closer. I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but at some point you just have to say, okay, I think I've got what seems to be important. If anybody comes up with anything, you can send me an email. All you guys that listen to this have my email, I'm sure. To say, oh, you're missing something so important. And that would be great, because I'm just one guy. I'm not saying that I've got all the answers or anything like that. I'm doing this based on a lot of experience and frankly, a lot of intuition. I'm a very intuitive person, and so I rely heavily on that, and some inspiration, I hope. I always credit God with inspiring me in these kind of things, and I think that's happening. Oh, you're still breathing. I'll do that anyway. So yeah, this thing's been going for a pretty long time. What do you think we should call it? What title do you think you should throw on this one?
More on the game?
I'm sorry?
More on the sim?
More on the game? More on the sim? Okay. All right, well, we'll probably call it that. And anything you wanted to throw in there, Lee?
No.
I'll tell you one thing. I am having serious problems talking, speaking to people. You know, I'll hang up on words. It's getting worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's right there. I tend to do okay if I'm reading something. So if I get offers to come and speak to people, I'll just have to tell them, I'm going to read this, because otherwise I'll get hung up and you'll sit there and you'll go, God, this guy's got problems. And you're going, I do have problems, but I try to work around them a little bit. So I'm going to be reading my speech to you, my talk, my lecture, whatever it is. Whatever you've brought me here to talk about, you know, hopefully it'll be about stuff that comes from the simulation, the game. Or family sovereignty, which is also kind of wrapped up in this. Saying, so how do you make the world so that people have more meaning? And you go, family sovereignty is a great way to do it. Is to say that you shouldn't be taking away people's, the kind of inherent power that families have. You shouldn't be legislating it away, which is exactly what we've done in a lot of ways. Which is definitely a satanic thing. Is that trying to destroy the family. If you choose to have a family, he wants to make your family as ineffective, as worked over by agencies of whatever, governments. The current way to really make, to really screw things up is to get something passed through like a Congress. And then it's like, well, you better not spank your kids, because then we'll take your kids away, and this is going to be a federal law now, which is really hard to change.
Like wearing seatbelts.
Yeah. Wearing your seatbelts or putting a helmet on your head. Everybody swears up and down that, oh, you're... When they first came out with those kind of seatbelt rules, that was the first thing they said is, we will never pull somebody over strictly for that. It'll just be something that may come up in a traffic stop. And you know what? They lied on purpose.
Yeah.
It says, it is now another reason to say, no, I'm pulling you over. Why did I pull you over? Well, because I was looking at your shoulder and you didn't have a shoulder strap on. If you put it under your arm because it really makes your shoulder hurt, that doesn't matter. You have to wear it properly or you're going to get fined. It's like, whoa. Anyway, and it gets like that. And they all say, oh, but it's only for your good. You go, yeah, that's also why they get involved in your parenting and watching you parent. And you know that there's people watching you that will be glad to turn you in. Just please just punch and pat themselves on the back and say how wonderful they are for having done it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was turned in because my twins weren't properly seated in their
seat
belts.
Yeah.
And it's like they were when I pulled out of my driveway. I am driving and they're in the back of a 9-seater van.
I can't go back and stop them.
Yeah.
But they still turned in. And the cop came
and pulled me over and gave me,
didn't you have something?
A $75 ticket per kid.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, thanks. You're really doing a service to humanity. It's mostly abusive. Something that's just going to happen by nature. Your kids are going to wriggle out of their car seats if it's a long drive.
And I told those boys, I said, well, Merry Christmas to you, because you ain't getting Christmas, because all that money that I would have spent on your Christmas presents is now going to pay for these tickets, because you wouldn't stay in your car seat.
See? And isn't that borderline
abusive?
And you go, could be. And you go, yeah. Isn't this a wonderful world we live in?
After I threatened that, they never got out of their car.
That's true. there's plenty of people who say, oh, that's good.
And I kept my word. I kept my word. Now, Santa Claus gave them a gift, but we didn't give them gifts.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. We were going to call this more on the Sim. On the Sim. More on the Sim. All right. I think that's quite enough. Even though I added that little bit in there.
Okay, so goodbye.
Bye-bye.